This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has brought us here. And inshallah, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'll conclude our discussion on the Battle of Badr. So for the past few weeks and months, we were discussing the days of Izzah and glory, those days in our history, in the time of Islam, when we can look proudly as Muslims. And in particular, we focused on the establishment of the state of Medina and the defense of that state in the first battle in Islam, the Battle of Badr. Just to summarize quickly, we mentioned that the Battle of Badr was fought on the 17th of Ramadan, the second year after the Hijrah. And this was, of course, the first battle in the history of Islam. This was the first active jihad in terms of warfare on the battlefield. There were skirmishes before this, but this was the first jihad. And we mentioned how a small group of Muslims, 300 and a few more than 300, came unprepared for a battle, and they faced the Quraishi army of 1,000. And it's now the time that we conclude, when we discuss the aftermath of this battle, it is time for us to realize the strength of the Quraysh. The Quraysh at that time were the superpower of the Arabs. They were the strongest tribe in the Arabian Peninsula. They were the government. They were the ones that exerted authority and force, and no one challenged the Quraysh. So they were the guys in charge. They were the strong, the power. And the Muslims, of course, they just started second year of Hijrah. Means 2 years, not even 2 years, the state of Medina was established. So it's a new city, a new group, a new people challenging the status quo, challenging the most powerful city in Arabia. And during the course of the battle, we mentioned that 70 of the Qurayshis were killed, amongst them their leadership, their senior leadership, and 75 of them were taken as prisoner. And we mentioned the ahkam with regards to the prisoners and the treatment of the prisoners within Islam. And only 15 Muslims were martyred on the Battle of Badr. 15 compared to 145 Quraishis being killed or captured. And this was a resounding victory, a most unexpected victory that let the Quraishis flee for their lives to return to Mecca. This is, of course, the greatest battle in Islam for a number of reasons. Because, as I said, and I remind you, when we conclude with this battle, 300 against 1,000, it doesn't sound too big. Today we fight in millions. We don't fight with hundreds or thousands. When battles are fought today, it's in millions. So how is this so significant? As Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made that dua, said, Ya Allah, if we are defeated on this place at this time, Islam will be gone forever. That this was the last ditch effort, that this religion of Islam that began when Allah created the heavens and the earth, that this religion of Islam on earth was on the verge of becoming extinct. Islam would have become extinct on the day of Badr. And of course, as we know, after that, Qiyamah is only what's left. When Islam becomes extinct within mankind, Qiyamah is left. And the Muslims didn't know if this would be the end of Islam, the end of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's worship on earth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that this religion will endure and it will maintain and continue until today, and inshallah for many, many, many thousands of years until the end of time, inshallah. Allah revealed Surah Al-Anfal, the 8th surah of the Quran, almost exclusively pertaining to the Battle of Badr. And that those who participated in the Battle of Badr throughout the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and afterwards, they would hold rank among Sahaba. That a person that was from the Ahlu Badr, those of Badr, were regarded as senior Sahaba in the society of the Muslims. So after the battle was concluded, Badr, and for those of you who've been lucky and fortunate enough to visit Badr, you would know that Badr is a few hundred kilometers outside of Medina, 150, 200 kilometers outside of Medina, and it's even further from Mecca. It's in the middle of nowhere. So the other battles were fought at the city of Medina, Uhud and the Battle of the Trench. These battles were fought at the city. But Badr was fought outside at an uninhabited area. And therefore the people of Medina and the people of Mecca, they were unaware of what's going to happen. They didn't know, right? We didn't have Twitter and Facebook and telephones that time. So they had to wait for the results. A traveler would come. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sends his son, his adopted son, Zayd ibn Harith. Zayd ibn Haritha, the adopted son of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the only man, as I mentioned, whose name is mentioned in the Quran, the only Sahabi who is mentioned by name in the Quran, Zayd, the adopted son of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives him al-Qaswa. Al-Qaswa is the camel of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had a special camel, al-Qaswa. Everyone knew this was the camel of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi gives Al-Qaswa to Zayd. And he tells Zayd, you go to Medina and you inform the people of the victory of what happened here at Badr. When Zayd comes into Medina and he's declaring, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, that we were successful on Badr. And he's explaining to the Muslims the events that occurred. And he's explaining how this one has been killed, Abu Jahl has been killed, Umayyah ibn Khalaf has been killed, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah has been killed, all the senior leadership, the top guys, they're all gone. And this one has been killed and that one is captive. The people of Medina were so, you know, overjoyed. But for them, it seemed so impossible. It seemed so unlikely. It seemed that how is this possible? That the Jews and the Munafiqs in Medina, they came to one conclusion. They said, you know, shame for Zayd. The Muslims must have lost so badly in Medina, in Badr, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself must have been killed, and Zayd has gone insane. And he's taken the camel of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he's come here, and he's, you know, he's out of his mind. Impossible what he's saying. It's impossible that the Muslims can win. Not let alone let them win, that they could thrash the Quraishis to such an extent that the entire leadership was killed. So the people of Medina, they're listening to the news, but they can't believe it. They said, this cannot be true. How is this possible? How is it that we won this battle? But Zayd is telling them, no, we won. We were victorious. And we lost only, you know, only 15 of our Sahaba were martyred. But we had completely defeated the Quraysh, that they ran and they didn't come back. And we took the anfal, the spoils of war was taken. And that those who were treated unjustly, like Bilal, he got his justice. Bilal actually was the one that killed his master, Umayyah ibn Khalaf, the one that tortured him. You know, poetic justice had occurred on the day of Badr. And this, you know, when the news finally hit home and they realized that the army was coming back and the reports were corroborated, the people of Medina were overjoyed. They were so joyous to the extent that they hardly could believe it. And that this was a miracle from the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is mentioned in the Quran, an amazing miracle, an amazing event that unexpected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran, He puts predictions forward. Amongst the miracles of the Quran is that there are predictions of the future. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ar-Rum, in Surah Rum, Allah puts two predictions forward that come to pass on the same day. Allah puts forward two predictions and they come to pass on the same day. So Allah says in Surah Ar-Rum, the Surah of the Romans, Alif Lam Mim, Ghulibati Ar-Rum. So this Surah was revealed about 5-6 years before the Hijrah, about 9 years before the Battle of Badr. This Surah was revealed 9 years before the Battle of Badr, 8.5-9 years before the Battle of the Badr. At that day, when the Surah was revealed, the Romans lost a decisive battle against the Persians. They were so badly defeated, it would be like, you know, after D-Day, if you were into history, you would know that at some point in time, or when the Americans dropped the bombs on Japan, you would say, at this point in time, Japan is khalas, they're finished. There's no way they can come back from this defeat. So the Romans were so badly defeated on this day that Allah revealed the surah saying, Alif Lam Mim, Ghulibati Ar-Rum. The Romans were defeated. Of course, by whom? The Persians. Fi adna al-ard wa hum min ba'di ghalabihim sayaghlibun. That they have been defeated in a near land, in the land of Jordan. But after their defeat, they will overcome the Persians. That they will be victorious. Fi bid'i sinin. In 3 to 9 years. This is a, like, you know how you have a dozen means 12? In Arabic, this term, bid'i sinin, means between 3 and 9 years, the Romans will be victorious once again. The Romans will, so Allah makes a prediction in the Quran. لِلَّهِ الْأَمْرُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَمِنْ بَعْدُ. And to Allah belongs the command in the future and the past. Everything belongs to Allah. The decrees with Allah. وَيَوْمَ إِذٍ يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And on that day, Allah is saying, another thing that's going to happen on that day, the day the Romans win against the Persians, on that day, the Muslims will be so happy. بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ. By the victory of Allah. يَنْصُرُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah gives victory to whom He wills. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ. And He is the mighty, exalted in power, and the most merciful in how He executes the power. So Allah reveals the surah 9 years before Badr. And Allah says, I give two predictions. One, that the Romans will come back after this catastrophic defeat, and they will beat the Romans, and they will beat the Romans. And on that very same day, the Muslims will celebrate a victory that Allah will give them. And when we look at history, 9 years or so after the defeat of the Romans, Heracles, the emperor of Rome, he rallies the Roman forces and he defeats the Persians at another decisive battle, which coincides with the Battle of Badr. You look at the books of history, not only the Muslim books of history, but the historians, the non-Muslim historians, you would find it occurred at almost the same time. Almost the same time. So Allah has predicted this victory. And this is one of the great predictions of the Quran, that on that day, the Romans were definitely victorious in spite of their defeat. In fact, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, before gambling was made haram, when this surah came down, one of the Qurayshis, who actually fought in the Battle of Badr and he died, he told Abu Bakr, you believe that the Romans will come back after this? It's like saying, you believe the Japanese will be able to beat America after having two nuclear bombs dropped on them? You really believe it's possible? Abu Bakr said, yes, the Quran says so. So he said, let's make a bet. When will this happen? Now remember, the Quran says between 3 and 9 years. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu took the middle. He said, I'll take 6 years. In 6 years' time, the Romans will be victorious, I guesstimate. So they had a bet. 6 years came, and of course, nothing happened. There were no signs of victory, and Abu Bakr had to pay up. He had to pay up. Only before the 9 year period was up, the Romans were defeated. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Abu Bakr, you should have made it 9. You should have made it 9 years, because bid'ah means between 3 and 9, should have taken the longer period. So on this day, a miracle upon a miracle occurred. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he mentions, that the promise of Allah, wa'ad Allah, la yukhlifu Allah wa'dah, that Allah does not fail in his promise. So Allah makes the promise that the Muslims will be victorious, and it will be a sign that the Romans will also be victorious. And it's one of the miracles of the Quran that Allah revealed. And this promise Allah is also telling us in all times and ages, when Allah says, وَالْعَاقِبَةِ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, that the affair of the muttaqeen, that they oppressed, he will be victorious one day. Allah does not give us a date or a specific time. That is between Allah and Allah decides the date and time and place. But Allah says, I am promising you, the Nasr, my victory and my assistance will come. And in spite of how bad the situation is today, even though today it looks like it's impossible, Allah says, I will show you the possibility. I will open doors which you don't even know and don't even realize. And with me belongs the promise, and with me and me alone belongs the victory. So this is of the great miracles of the Quran that happened and occurred on the day of Badr. Of course, the Muslims, as the Quran mentioned, were overjoyed. They were so happy that their city, their state, the light of Islam survived. And it defeated the worst and the most corrupt of the tribes in Arabia. And it showed that Islam is now a force to be taken seriously. That Islam is here and it's here to stay. That after this victory, everyone else would look at Islam differently from this point in time. That those who are oppressed, and remember who's in Medina, it's those like Bilal, like Habab, like Ammar, all those who were tortured and abused, they showed that they were able to fight back. It's like the people of Gaza. How would that day be when the people of Gaza, and that day will come, inshallah, and we hope that we live to see it, when they overpower the Israelis and the Zionists? How great would that day be? Not only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the victory of Islam, but it's also to take retribution and justice against those who were tyrants. So happy was that day of Badr. But not everybody in Medina was happy. Because within Medina, we had elements that were forced to accept the status quo, that the majority of Medina was Muslim. But not everyone in Medina was Muslim. So you had Jewish tribes who were not Muslim. And they didn't accept, and basically the majority of them refused to accept Islam. And that's why Allah mentions to them so many times that this Quran has come. It confirms what Musa had come, a messenger that resembles Musa. Why don't you accept that which you yourself asked for? And we mentioned this a while ago. Why are there Jews in Medina? Because they knew that the end of time, the last prophet, he will come in the land of the Arabs in this city. And they, of course, believed, like Isa, like Musa, like Dawood, like Sulaiman, of course, the final prophet would be a Jew. You'd be from Bani Israel. They were convinced. But when he was an Arab, they refused to accept him, and they refused to accept his Nubuwwah, even though they knew. So the Jews, after the defeat of the Battle of Badr, they realized that now the Muslims are here, and they're here to stay. And they're not going to leave, and they're not going to be able to overthrow them easily. So now the plots and plans has to be done in secret. So too were those who accepted Islam nifaqan. They entered into Islam as hypocrites. That on the outside, they said the kalima. On the outside, they said la ilaha illallah. But on the inside, they hated and resented Islam. And every opportunity they got, they hampered the progress of Islam. And every opportunity they got to harm Islam and to harm the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they did what they could. The hypocrites of Medina. And it's an important point to know about nifaq, hypocrisy. The ulama mentioned that when Islam is weak, as it is today, and as it was for those people in Mecca, you won't find a hypocrite. Why? Because there's no benefit in being a Muslim. Worldly benefit, right? There's no benefit. You're going to be tortured and abused and oppressed. So why be a Muslim? But when Islam is strong, and you can get the benefits of being a Muslim, then you'd find hypocrisy enter into the hearts. So now Islam has become strong and powerful. They beat the Qurayshis. And now you find the beginning of the hypocrites of Medina. And Allah mentions them in the Quran, in Surah Tawbah, a lot of ayat about the hypocrites. And in fact, there's a surah, Munafiqun, Munafiqeen, in the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, of the qualities of the hypocrites, that whenever there's a battle, they always have an excuse not to go out and fight. They always have an excuse that I have this or I have that, or I have some debts, or I'm weak, or some excuse they make. And the Sahaba knew it's the same group of people. Always when a battle comes, then they're not available for the battle. So Allah says about them, if good befalls you when you are victorious in the battle, or when good comes to you, it grieves them. They feel a pain. They feel a resentment. But if bad happens to you, calamity falls you, they say, we took our precautions. You see, we didn't go with you. We were right beforehand. You should have listened to us. You should have stayed behind. And they turn away happily when bad things happen to the believers. How many, unfortunately, find people under the guise of Islam, yet every action they do harms the ummah. And it brings the ummah down. That every time the ummah is harmed, they are there to clap hands and take joy in it. But when the ummah is successful, they feel unhappy and they are darkened in their hearts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the hypocrites, men and women, are one from another. They enjoin al-munkar, look at the opposite. They enjoin disbelief and all kinds of evil, and forbid from al-ma'ruf, and they turn against, they fight against the goodness of Allah. And they have forgotten Allah, so Allah has caused them to be forgotten. Verily the hypocrites are the fasiqoon, that they are the ones who are the rebellious ones. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions nifaq, and to understand this quality of nifaq well, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about the munafiqeen and qualities that, unfortunately, just as a believer, so we have three states a believer can be in. He can either be in the state of iman, or he can be in a state of kufr. Right? It's either a believer or a disbeliever. And even the believer can have qualities of the disbeliever, but he's still a believer. And the disbeliever can have qualities of a mu'min, of a believer, but overall he's still a believer. And in between, you have the munafiqs that resemble the believer on the outside, but they resemble the disbeliever on the inside. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warns the believer that there are four qualities, and if you have these qualities in you, then know you are sharing in the characteristics of a munafiq. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the four qualities of the hypocrite is that whenever he speaks, he tells lies. He's a constant liar. Lies come easily to him. And when he makes a treaty, he has a pact with you, he breaks that pact. And when he makes a promise, he breaks the promise. And when he argues abusively. He starts swaying at you. He starts fighting with you violently. Arguing is going to happen between husband and wife. But to get to that level of abuse and hatred, that's a quality of the munafiq. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever has any of these qualities, you have qualities of nifaq and you need to get rid of them. And if you have all four of these qualities in you, then it's your complete munafiq. So in Medina, we would have, and as the history goes on, the munafiqs will play an important role as a third force within Medina. They would try to undermine the Muslims from inside. That they will be the most dangerous element because they will expose the weaknesses of the Muslims on the inside. Question, or before we get to that, and that's why Allah says, verily the munafiqs, the hypocrites, will be in the lowest place in Jahannam. That they are worse than the kuffar. That they will be tortured and punished worse than the disbeliever on the day of Qiyamah. Why? Because they are the most harm to the Muslims. And they bring more harm to Islam. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam There's evidence that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew who the munafiqs were. Allah informed the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam who the hypocrites were. That man, that person, that lady. There are Muslims on the outside, but on the inside, they're causing harm for Islam. Why did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam not get rid of them? Why didn't he just round them up and execute them and say, let's be done with them? Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and this is the principle we apply today, we judge on the outside and we leave the inside to Allah. None of us here has the right to say that this man in his heart, he's a this or he's a that or he's a this. If he says, La ilaha illallah, khalas. He's entered into Islam as far as we know, and the affair is with Allah. Allah will judge. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, I was not sent to cut open the hearts of people and judge as to what was inside. And he never, ever said to his Sahaba who the munafiqs were. He never explained to the companions, this is a munafiq or that's a munafiq, except one companion, Hudhaifa bin Yaman. So he knew who they were, and he of course was sworn to secrecy. One of the sad events that occurred on the day of Badr, and this again is the wisdom and the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Zayd comes into Medina, he's coming in giving the news. They are just covering the grave of Zainab Ruqayya bint Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the daughter of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We mentioned Sayyidina Uthman, he didn't fight in the Battle of Badr. Why? Because his wife, Ruqayya, who was the daughter of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was terminally ill. And just as Badr is successful, Ruqayya passes away. So on the day that the Muslims are so happy and they're rejoicing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam a personal calamity. His daughter passes away. And what's the wisdom, Ya Allah, in this? Why on the day of Badr? It is to teach the believer. It's to teach, and this is how Allah teaches Anbiya, that humility. Teaches them that this life is in the hand of Allah. That just because you are the Nabi, and just because you are the Muslim, don't think everything is going to go your way. That Allah does things in His own time and His own power, and everything is in the hand of Allah. So it's a lesson that on our good days, even on our best days, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that you are in the hands of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares as He wishes and the affair belongs to Him. So how did the news now reach the people of Makkah? We spoke about the news coming to Medina. Makkah also receives the word now. And the Quraishis are in shock disbelief just as the Muslims of Medina were. They were so sure of victory that already before the battle began, they already planned the after party, so to say. They already planned the victory march. They took with them, they not only took their weapons, and they took with them their party, their singers and their dancers, because they said, you know, we might as well, we're going to celebrate before the battle and after the battle, because we're going to get what we wanted to do for the past 13 years. The messenger of Quraysh comes to Makkah and he starts tearing his clothes off and he starts beating himself and throws sand on his head. And of course the Quraysh are looking, what's going on? And this is the way the Quraysh lamented of the way of Jahiliyyah. When calamity befell them, they started to beat themselves and cut themselves and scream. Of course this is haram in Islam. This is not a characteristic of a Muslim. When calamity befalls us, we endure it patiently. فَصَبْرٌ jamil, As Nabi Yaqub did when Nabi Yusuf was gone. Said, I bear this calamity patiently, quietly. I don't disturb anyone with my grief. The Quraishis had this other opposite way. And Abu Lahab, who was the one leader of the Quraysh who wasn't at Badr, you know, he out of his cowardice, he managed to buy someone to fight for him. He couldn't believe it. And he thought the same thing, that this man went mad. And he's a coward. He ran away. He's a coward. He ran away. That's why he's coming and making up stories that Abu Jahl has been killed and that the Muslims were so victorious. So he goes and he finds Abu Sufyan, another of the Quraishi leaders, and he says, the truth, tell me the truth, what happened on the day of Badr? And Abu Sufyan starts explaining that it was as if though we fought an unseen force. No matter how hard we fought, we were overpowered. That we fought people we didn't recognize, we didn't know. Of course, speaking about the angels, and no matter how, you know, they came at us so forcefully, and our armor meant nothing, and our swords were useless against this enemy. There was no hope. It wasn't that we were cowards. We weren't afraid. We were there. We fought. But there was no hope against this enemy. So while Abu Sufyan and Abu Lahab are having this conversation, a slave who was a Muslim, he hears this conversation and he forgets himself. He forgets he's a slave. And he says, those are the angels Allah sent to protect the Muslims. Right? So Abu Lahab becomes enraged. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned, that he was the one of the cursed men that was supposed to die on Badr. Right? So he managed to get out of Badr, and all the big shots of Quraysh, they died on Badr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took retribution on the day of Badr. Allah would not leave Abu Lahab alone. Abu Lahab didn't go to Badr, but his death reached him to Makkah. So we remind ourselves what Allah says about Abu Lahab. He was, of course, the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one of the worst opponents to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah revealed in a whole surah cursing Abu Lahab, cursing him, saying, Tabbat yada Abi Lahab wa tab. May the hands of Abu Lahab be ruined, and ruined is he. Ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. His wealth will not avail him, or that which he gained. All his wealth of this dunya will have no good for him. Sayasla naran dha talahab. He will enter a burning fire of flame. وَمْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْخَطَبِ. And his wife, who also assisted him in harming the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, she will be the one carrying the firewood which will burn him. فِي جِيدِهَا حَبْلٌ مِّن مَسَدٍ. Around her neck will be a rope of twisted fiber. Again, this is a miracle of the Quran. This ayah, this surah was revealed about 10 years before Abu Lahab died. If he became a Muslim, or his wife became a Muslim, then the Quran is null and void. How is the Quran? It's inconsistent. Allah says, these people will never embrace Islam, and I promise them they're going to Jahannam. And for the next 10 years, if only they became Muslim, they would have sort of contradicted Islam completely, but they remained on their kufr, and they remained fighting the Muslims. So when Abu Lahab hears the slave, and this slave is from the family of his brother Al-Abbas. So Abu Lahab hears the slave now mentioning that these were the angels. He becomes upset, and he starts beating the slave up. And the lady of the house, Lubaba, it's Abu Lahab's sister-in-law, Al-Abbas, who fought Badr, his wife. She also was a Muslim, Umm Fadl, one of the first Muslims. And she hits Abu Lahab over the head with a stick and say, my husband is gone, your brother, he's in Badr, he fought with the Quraysh. So you think he's gone, you can now do what you want to the family and our slaves, right? And she hits him over the head. And Abu Lahab goes away. And this cut, this wound that she gave him, it starts to fester and pus, and it starts to become infected. And it becomes, the stench of Abu Lahab is so bad, for 3 days no one wants to go near him. And he turns septic and he dies. And the reports of Ibn Ishaq, the historians, they write that they had to pay slaves to bury him because no one could come near the way he stunk, the bad smell that he had. So even though he didn't attend Badr, he thought he could get out. One of the believers in Makkah, a lady, she hits him over the head and he dies cursed, as Allah mentioned. And this is the end of Abu Lahab. So a news on top of all the news that all the Quraishis were defeated, Abu Lahab as well, he dies in Makkah. He dies in Makkah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the message we take from the Battle of Badr, and in our times of today when we are not in a day of Izzah and glory, when we are weakened and we are struggling, that the victory, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises, the day will come when the believers will be victorious. And when we go through, and inshallah we'll continue with the series in a few weeks or so, you will see that when Islam is at its weakest, that inshallah Allah only requires a handful of sincere men and women to stand up, and they will bring Islam forward. That the victory Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give, but He requires a little effort from our side. So Allah says about the people of Badr, and to all of the nations and all the generations to follow, and remember when you were few and you were reckoned, the people thought you were weak in the land, as they think we are weak today in the land. When the people thought you were weak and afraid that, and you were afraid that men might kidnap you, but Allah provided a safe place for you and strengthened you with His help and provided you with good things so that you may be grateful. Remember, inshallah, brothers and sisters, that the victory will come. And I conclude this chapter of the days of Izzah and glory, and how beautiful it was. Remember, Badr, as I said, occurred in Ramadan. Then, and this was the first Ramadan that Islam, where there was fasting. And then the day of Eid came. Can you imagine how great that day of Eid was? When the first of Shawwal came, and the day of Eid occurred, and the Muslims rejoiced like never before. They were so happy, because now they knew and they were convinced the truth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is at hand. And inshallah, that day of rejoice will come for us as well, inshallah. We'll continue with our series, The Day of Izzah and Glory, in a week or two's time. We'll have some guest speakers coming next week, inshallah, and we'll take a new topic on the days of Izzah and glory. Just a few announcements that, inshallah, you can SMS me or email, you can email me on my email, wishmuhammad@gmail.com, that as well we remind the brothers that our seerah class, if you want to know more about the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and interesting things like this, the details, please join us at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday, 7 to 8 inshallah on a Tuesday. And then a reminder that alhamdulillah we're having a class at the Panorama Masjid after Maghrib on Wednesdays on Shiism. And then a final reminder that next week, and I have tickets if anyone's available, would like to attend the Al-Kawthar course, the Prophets of Allah. One day, inshallah, you will learn all the Anbiya, all 24 of them, their stories. Speak to your kids, the exams are over, inshallah. Ask them to attend this course, it's at UWC. You can get tickets at UWC, or you can get tickets from the Al-Kawthar website online. Jazakallah khair, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us, and guide us, and grant us prosperity. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.